This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, filling in this week for Terry Gross. You might recognize Tom McCarthy from any number of his film or television roles. On the HBO series The Wire, he played the ambitious newspaper reporter who made up stories in the show's final season. He also appeared in Boston Public, Law & Order, and the films Flags of Our Fathers, Syriana, and Good Night and Good Luck. But McCarthy's also written and directed two films which won critical praise: The Station Agent, starring Peter Dinklage and Patricia Clarkson, and The Visitor, a story about a man who encounters two immigrants in New York, which featured Richard Jenkins in his first starring role. Critic David Rooney says McCarthy has a rare ability to shape unexpected connections among very real people, guiding them towards gently uplifting outcomes that are neither manipulative nor sentimental. That, Rooney adds, might make him one of the least cynical filmmakers in America. McCarthy's new film is Win-Win, starring Paul Giamatti as a small-town lawyer who's a high school wrestling coach on the side. Struggling to support his family, the lawyer takes an ethical shortcut which involves him in the life of an elderly client. And things get complicated when the old man's teenage grandson shows up, a refugee from his drug-addicted mom. In this scene, Giamatti is talking to the teenager, played by Alex Schaefer, who's shown a special talent and become the unexpected star of the wrestling team. The team has just broken its season-long losing streak, and player and coach are walking down a school hallway, their down coats rustling as they speak.
Proud of what you did today. That win meant a lot to the guys.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, Kyle. What's it like to be as good as you are? What does that feel like?
I don't know. I guess it just feels like I'm in control of everything, you know?
Yeah, I do. Must be nice.
It is.
Well, Tom McCarthy, welcome to Fresh Air. Let's talk about Win-Win, the new film. You know, at the heart of this story is this small-town lawyer who has a struggling practice dealing mostly with older clients. The story kind of begins with this lawyer and his family and then gets more complicated. How did this script begin to you?
I think ultimately this whole idea began with me calling an old high school, an old, not even high school, grade school friend, Joe Taboni, who I've known since I was in fourth grade. And we started reliving our high school not-so-glory days and just laughing a lot about it. And by the end of the conversation, I thought, you know, there's something in here that's worth writing about. And I actually invited Joe to develop the story with me. He's actually an elder law attorney who lives in New Providence and is married with two little girls, a little bit like Mike Flaherty is in the movie.
This young man who shows up, he is a kid in need of rescuing. And he becomes a really important character here, and he's played by Alex Schaefer. Where did you find him?
I decided early on in this project we needed to have a wrestler. There's a wrestling storyline to the movie, high school wrestling, and it's a really difficult sport to fake. And my casting director, basically did a massive casting call in the tri-state area looking for wrestlers under 5'5 and wrestling under 125 pounds because I wanted a specific type. And we saw a bunch of young men who came in and read for the role, and Alex Schaefer kind of came in and just in some unique way connected with. He's a non-actor, but he just connected with this character, and we really put him through the ringer in terms of auditioning him. But he kept rising to the challenge, and he ultimately gives a great performance in the film.
Yeah, when you first meet him, I mean, when you see the blonde hair and that kind of withdrawn affect, you think, this is a damaged kid. I'm not sure if he wanted to live with me, I'd want to have anything to do with him. And then it turns out there's a lot more going on, and he has this incredible work ethic and discipline.
Yeah, and more importantly, he has a code. And I think that's something that the film really deals with is, you know, we can only be regulated as adults in so many ways, whether that's on a city, state, or federal level. Ultimately, it's got to come about as a personal responsibility and regulation. And this young man shows up with that he's obviously derived from wrestling. And it's this code that he brings with him of what's right and wrong and how to proceed through life. And he makes his way. Now, he makes mistakes. He does dumb things. We see and hear about them in the film. He's a young man. Of course he's going to do that. And he comes from a tough background. But he still, you have a sense he has this sort of moral compass, which you just kind of get from Alex. And that's something that you can't, that's tough to play. Either a character has that or he doesn't.
I read that you were a wrestler in high school along with your friend Joe, right? Yeah.
I was. Yeah. I was a killer, Dave. I'm not going to lie.
I was just going to ask you, were you good?
I was 101 pounds of mean. That's what I wrestled. I wrestled 101 and 108. I was okay. I was fair, maybe slightly above average. And Joe also wrestled. He wasn't quite as successful. It's one of those sports you look back on, you sometimes think, why did I do that? It was so much pain. But it's just, you know, you get into it. I got into it at an early age, and it kind of stuck.
Do you think wrestling gave you something, like a work ethic, a discipline that helped you get where you are?
Yeah, it probably did. I think sports in general provide that. And I think wrestling specifically, because it's just such a tough sport. Just to get through a season, you feel like you accomplished something. And there really is this thing about just going out onto a mat and taking a guy on, just one-on-one, with a set of rules applied. But ultimately, it is that. I think it toughens you up and gives you that sense of, I can kind of take on any problem.
Well, I wanted to talk about The Station Agent, which you wrote and directed in 2003, won a bunch of awards. And this is a story of a man named Finn, who is played by Peter Dinklage. He's a dwarf, as it turns out, who is a train buff and worked for years in a model train store. But when the owner dies and the shop closes, he discovered he's inherited a defunct train station in a remote part of New Jersey. And he goes there and settles in. And I thought we'd listen to a clip here, where he is befriended by a guy who has a hot dog stand nearby named Joe, played by Bobby Cannavale. And Joe really wants to make friends. Finn, not so sure. Let's listen.
Hey, Finn. Bro, you live here?
Yes.
Wow, we're neighbors. Nice. Hey, what happened to you?
Nothing.
Listen, you want to go down to the mill and grab a beer later?
No, thanks.
Well, you don't drink?
I do.
Well, you just don't want to have a drink with me?
I don't like bars very much.
Oh. Hey, well, how about I go get a six and we can have it right here?
No, thanks.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going for a walk.
Oh, cool. Well, you mind if I come along, man? I need the exercise. I'm turning into a fat out here.
I usually go alone.
Well, I'm a good walker, bro.
Prefer to go alone.
Okay. All right, maybe next time, right? You know where to find me.
And the irrepressible Joe. That's Bobby Cannavale and Peter Dinklage in the film The Station Agent, directed and written by our guest, Tom McCarthy.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
It's fun, isn't it? Yeah.
It is fun. Those two guys are really fun to watch together. And as you were kind of laying out the storyline, I was thinking to myself, boy, I keep making these movies that are really hard to define in a story. They sound very inaccessible the way they lay out sometimes. But anyway, I was getting a kick out of that as you were trying to make your way through it.
And the lead, Peter Dinklage here. Now, I read that you did not envision him in the role. You saw yourself in the role. Is that right?
I think at some time, look, I was like an actor trying to get roles, and I started to write a script, and who better to play it than me?
Right.
And then halfway through it, I thought, I'm not really right for this, which probably tells you a little bit about my acting career. Really, I almost finished an entire draft without envisioning Pete or a dwarf playing that role. And then I ran into Pete just randomly on the street in New York one day. I had directed him in a play a couple of years prior to that, and thought he was a terrific actor. And right after our conversation, I was walking away. I was like, there's my guy. There's a guy just visually will understand someone who might want to disconnect a little bit from society, which ultimately is what the movie deals with. And that idea stuck. I called Pete the next day, and I sat down to write it, and it really informed the script thematically in a really wonderful way.
Right. And how much of it was because of his particular...
Ultimately, it didn't change things that much. Literally, it was like bit by bit. It was just almost like I didn't need exposition. I didn't need a backstory about, you know, with this character. And that's something I'm always trying to avoid. Now, I'll just let the audience fill in the blanks because it's probably more interesting to some degree than having it preached to them. And with Pete and Bobby, of course, and Patty Clarkson, who played the other role, a lot of their backstory, we just get little bits and pieces of it. I'm much more concerned with how these three people move into the present together and form this sort of odd triumvirate.
I wanted to talk about The Visitor, which was your second film, also very well received and a terrific movie. Deals with a kind of a lonely economics professor and his encounter with to illegal immigrants. You know, Richard Jenkins got a lot of attention for this role, got an Oscar nomination. He's been an actor that people would recognize from a lot of roles over the years. He was the deceased dad on the HBO series 6 Feet Under. Why did you come to cast him for this role?
You know, it's a similar to reason for why I cast Paul Giamatti in Win-Win. I think both of these actors present a face and just an essence that audiences can relate to immediately as a neighbor, you know, as a family member, as the guy next door, the guy on the street, and sort of this everyman quality. I know that's a bit of an overused term, but they really have that. Maybe there's something that they're not conventional leading men in that sense. So I feel like there is makes them more accessible to audiences. Plus, you know, Richard was just overdue. He's just a tremendous actor. He's done so many movies. Audiences have seen him for years. And I just felt like he certainly had the range. And in both the case of Richard Jenkins and Paul Giamatti and Win-Win, and even Peter Dinklage in The Station Agent, all those men have this tremendous sense of vulnerability, which I always find very appealing in male characters.
One of the things about this film, a lot of what we're seeing is actors reacting.
Acting.
I was going to say, reacting and reflecting. Yeah. A lot of it's not what they're saying, it's what you're seeing in their faces. Does that require a different kind of directing?
The stillness between lines, it creates tension. It creates its own kind of tension. And I think that there doesn't always have to be words there for a scene to work. And again, you have to have the actors who can pull that off. I don't think it's any coincidence that all three of the leading men we've talked about today have tremendous stage experience in terms of the theater. Richard didn't even do his first film until I think he was 43 or 44. He was up at Trinity Rep, running the Trinity Rep and acting as a main company member up there. And these men have a tremendous sense of filling space in the subtlest ways. You know, certainly Paul Giamatti, same thing. Paul and I met at the Yale Drama School. He came out, he was doing Broadway and theater before he got into movies. And you can feel that with these guys. They're very comfortable. Once they're in their bodies, that's it. They lock in, and it just makes them incredibly compelling to watch.
Because when you're on stage, you're listening.
You're completely involved. There are no breaks. You're just up there. So and I think listening is a great thing to pick up on. I think that's what great actors do almost better than anything else. You mentioned reacting. I think part of that is listening. A big part of that is listening and being a good listener. And I think you can always tell a great actor because no matter what's happening in the scene, they're dialed in and they're responding. And it's informing not only the moment, but the moments down the line. It's fun to watch.
Well, you've done a lot of acting, and you had a major role in the 5th season of the HBO series The Wire. This is the last season where the series hones in on the flaws of urban journalism. And why don't you describe your character, Scott Templeton? He's a reporter at the Baltimore Sun.
Greatly misunderstood reporter of, he's probably ambitious before all else. And I think he's very career minded. And, you know, I think David Simon beat into me during when we were shooting The Wire, the 5th season. This guy's not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. He's done nothing wrong. And of course, he was just pushing me to play against type and to play the reality of the moment, which is a young man who's trying to further his career by any means necessary. And unfortunately, in doing so, he crosses a few journalistic lines.
Making things up, right?
the old making things up. So right. Shoot me. But, you know, it was such an enjoyable experience playing that character because every week, you know, I had no idea. David just called me. He offered me the role. We had a brief conversation, and he said, I just think you're going to be really right for this character. Well, you know, as the season develops and I realize the guy's the biggest creep in all 5 seasons of The Wire, and I think I don't know if there's a more disliked character than Scott Templeton, makes me reflect back on just what it is David Simon saw in my own character that he's so connected with.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask that. What made you write for that? Do you know?
I do not know. I have thought about it long and hard since that. But yeah, the great thing about it is as the season's unfolding, you got more and more of a sense of just what happens to the character. It just starts to build, and it was a lot of fun to play. Watch this guy desperately try to hang on, and ultimately succeed in doing so, which is classic Simon. Never goes where you think he's going to go.
Right. Well, let's listen to one scene. And this is one where your character, Scott Templeton, has gone to a homeless encampment under an interstate in Baltimore, where, of course, the series is set. and spoken to an Iraq war vet and written about his experiences. And the scene we're going to hear is where the Iraq war vet has come storming into the newspaper claiming that your character, Scott Templeton, has gotten parts of it wrong. And this is a meeting with the Iraq war vet, who's played by Aubrey Deeker, and you as the reporter, Scott Templeton. It's mediated by your editor, who's played by Clark Johnson. Let's listen.
I never said I was in a firefight. Not on that day.
I'm sorry, but you did.
I told you the lead vehicle took a hit from an elevated IED, killed the 50 gunner, and blew the hands off the driver. That's it. That's enough, man. Why are you going to make the rest of that up?
I didn't make anything up. We sat there having coffee.
Coffee?
Having donuts and coffee. And you said...
What'd I say?
Can I finish?
I don't know. I'm hearing about coffee and donuts. I'm not hearing...
Can I finish? If you're not going to let me tell my side of the story...
A lie ain't a side of the story. It's just a lie.
I don't have to listen to this.
Okay, hey, Scott, let's just relax here. Both gentlemen, let's just step back here, please. Now, Mr. Henning, forgive me, but do you drink much?
You think I sleep under a bridge sober?
Well, sometimes when I have a few, and I do like to have a few, I tend to be a little more descriptive in the telling of a tale. In fact...
I know what it is to tell a story. I've told plenty in my time. But there's some things that happen, you don't ever with them.
Scott?
I believe you, Mr. Hanning. I believe that you believe. That you believe you told me one thing. But, sir, with all due respect and gratitude for you and the service you gave to this country, you didn't tell me that thing. You told me something else. I wrote what Mr. Hanning told me.
And that's Tom McCarthy, our guest, in a scene from the fifth season of The Wire, where he plays a reporter who stretches the bounds of ethics, shall we say, at the Baltimore Sun. You know, you've said that in five seasons of The Wire, there may not be a more contemptible character than your guy. Does it follow you around? Do people see you and say,
absolutely. People are really vocal about that. That show has a very, you know, just walking through your offices here, which feel a little bit like a newsroom, I started to get that itchy feeling that someone was going to launch a stapler at me or something. And, you know, even on the streets in New York, I have people all the time who will just walk by me and be like, you're a bad man. You know, they just, and I know, the sad thing is I know what they're talking about. I was sitting down by their river one day and enjoying the sunset with my girlfriend, and three guys walk by in suits, and the one guy just looks at me and goes, someone should knock you out. And I knew what he was talking about, and they all kind of cracked up, and he's like, I'm right. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. People really don't like Scott Templeton. It's a lot of fun to play a character like that, and the reaction continues to be fun. I mean, even when I'm doing press tours right now for Win-Win, I'm going around, and a lot of people are still putting together that I'm that guy, and I walk into a room, and the temperature changes a bit when they realize they're in the presence of Scott Templeton. Pulitzer Prize-winning Scott Templeton, I should say.
Right. You know, you've done three movies now, and the first two were highly acclaimed, and I'm confident the third one is going to be well-received as well. The reviews are good. And you've done three movies. None of the characters are famous or powerful. Nobody's been stabbed, shot, or blackmailed. Can you keep this up?
I don't know. It is funny. I do get that a little bit. I don't know what it is. I definitely am interested in the ordinary becoming extraordinary in some way and trying to find that and challenging myself. Look, I think with Win-Win, specifically I was delving back into suburban New Jersey. I knew that was going to be a challenge because the world is so conventional by design. And, you know, in many ways, this is my most personal film because it's, you know, set in the town I grew up in, developed the story with one of my oldest friends, and it deals with issues I care about. But it was like, how to make this compelling for an audience? And, you know, I think our answer to that was keep it fun, keep it entertaining. And it's really what I wanted to do this film. It's a much busier film than my other films. Mike Flaherty is in the midst of his life. You know, he's got his family he's committed to. He's got his practice. He's a wrestling coach. He's got more than enough going on. That was the challenge for this script, how to make that operate and how to make it exciting for audiences.
All right. Well, Tom McCarthy, it's been fun. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks, Dave.
Tom McCarthy wrote and directed the new film Win-Win, starring Paul Giamatti and Amy Ryan. It opens Friday. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air.